Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you. If you're waking up on your Tuesday, well, at least it's not Monday. Woo! It's a cause for celebration, is it not? Also, maybe by Tuesday, Wednesday, you won't feel the spring forward quite as much. Now, it doesn't necessarily affect our sleeping patterns, because of our hours. But I did hear from a bunch of friends and family members on Monday who said they were kind of in a fog, that they felt like the springing forward and the turning the clocks forward had thrown them for a loop. And so if that's you, I totally understand. I always feel like that. So welcome to my world, the foggy one. But I certainly hope that a couple more days of adjusting your sleep will make you feel like you're with it and you're in a rhythm and a groove again. It is kind of nice that we have daylight longer in the afternoon and evening. So that I appreciate, I guess, mostly because my awake portion of the day doesn't start until mid-afternoon. So I kind of like the fact that we have more daylight. It allows me a little more freedom and flexibility when it comes to, I don't know, training for a half marathon, which is now over a month away, just over a month away. Whoa, time to kick it into high gear. We're going to do that on the show this hour as well. But if you're just joining us, the major story that we've been reacting to and really the questions that surround this story, Russell Westbrook threatening a couple, a man and his girlfriend, who were in the third row at the Utah Jazz Arena. So it was Jazz hosting the Thunder. And we know Russell Westbrook is not beloved in Salt Lake City. But in general, Westbrook is an easy target, right? He's brash. He's bold. He's aggressive. He is fearless. And he's also the perfect villain. He's a superstar. He's a former MVP. He's a former NBA Finals participant. He's set the record for triple-doubles in a season. He's averaged a triple-double for a season, for heaven's sakes. So anybody who's achieved the upper echelon of his sport but also has the I will fight you attitude that Russell Westbrook does, it works for him on the court. And he's the kind of guy that doesn't back down, which means fans will do their very best to attempt to get under his skin. Now, according to him, a fan crossed the line. The fan, of course, tells a completely different story. We'll let you hear from both Russ as well as the fan who's been identified as 45-year-old Shane Kiesel. You know why he's been identified? Because he wants to be. He's the one that sent the video to his friends who work in social media because he wants everyone to see it. That might tell you a little bit about his goal in this particular game. In fact, every time I look up the video of him explaining how he was wronged is on TV. The NBA does have a fan code of conduct. It apparently includes issuing not verbal warnings, but written warnings. I'd never heard of this before. The Utah Jazz and the arena handed out 5 written warnings to fans, like they were getting demerits, for heaven's sakes. It cites the fan code of conduct. It's a warning card. How many do you think ended up on the floor? Or, even funnier, how many do you think were taken as souvenirs? Like, look, I got a warning from the NBA. That means I'm cool. I mean, that's a waste of paper. I don't know why they're bothering with that. It's a he said right now. Raymond Felton is backing his teammate's story. The fan is telling a different one, but as we know, there are plenty of fans around him who will be willing to give their perspective and tattle if need be. So my question is this, not so much about Russell Westbrook. We'll find out what the NBA does. I wouldn't be surprised if the NBA fined Russ. He did verbally threaten Shane and his girlfriend, his oh-so-innocent girlfriend, whose hands remained folded in her lap the entire time. That's what his fan said. Maybe she was afraid of you. So where is the line for fans is what I'm asking. You're paying customers. You throw down, shell out your hard-earned money. And I mean, it's a lot of money. It's not cheap to go to a game, not a pro game, not an NBA game, certainly not third row courtside seats. You pay for food, you pay for alcohol or other beverages, you pay to park, maybe you pay to take public transit. It costs money, a lot of it, to go to an NBA game, an NFL game, any type of a pro event. So does that money that you have paid for those tickets give you the right to heckle? I think we've done an entire show on booing before. Can you say and do whatever you want while you're at a sporting event? The NBA says no, and the other leagues have fan codes of conduct as well. But there are a lot of gray areas here. So what is grounds for ejection and removal? In golf, at least, I don't know if this applies in other sports, but I kind of feel like it should. In golf, if one of the athletes believes that a fan has crossed the line, he can ask that a fan be removed. And it has happened more than once. Last year, I remember a couple of different golfers who singled out fans in the gallery and they were removed because their heckling had turned personal. Now, it's a different venue, obviously. The atmosphere is a little different. But I can tell you, walking around the U.S. Open last year, following Phil Mickelson, some of the comments I heard were despicable. They were disgusting. Now, Phil just keeps smiling. He's probably heard it all, as has Russell Westbrook. But at what point, when you finally get the response that you want, which is to get under an athlete's skin, should you be held responsible? 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Twitter is A-Law Radio, and then Facebook, named after the show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So again, Westbrook confronts and threatens a man and his girlfriend in Salt Lake. And I have lost my list of audio. Ooh, I bet I left it in the other studio when I was recording my CBS Sports Minute. So forgive me for that. But can we please hear the altercation, at least as much as it was caught on video? A little difficult to hear because of the arena noise. But this is Westbrook very clearly threatening the fan.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll f*** him up. You say it. I promise you. I'm playing. I swear to God. I'll f*** you up. You and your wife.
If you can't hear that, again, it's loud in the arena. The video picks up. It was actually posted by a member of the Utah Jazz media, so the local media. First, Westbrook is shouting to a security guard behind the bench. So Westbrook is on the corner of the bench. Fan is third row of the stands. And he says, I'm going to tell you one thing. I will F him up if he says that bleep again. I promise you. And then he looks at the fan. I promise you, you think I'm playing. I swear to God, I'll F you up. You and your wife, I'll F you up. And then he continues. He even drops the N-word, referring to the fan. And so all of this is caught on camera. And then Westbrook, of course, is asked about it afterwards. Just so you know, the fans, including this man, were given the warning cards. There were five different fans. Westbrook was not disciplined by officials, nor was there any stoppage in play, nothing like that. And his teammate, Raymond Felton, says that it happened exactly as Russ indicated. In fact, Russ is more than happy to tell you what comment from this fan set him off.
The realization of it is how it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate.
So Russ is saying the comment that set me off is this fan told me to get down on my knees like I used to. It's a reference to slaves. And so even if not everybody understands the reference, and many of you have said you don't, that's what Russell said was racial and disrespectful and set him off. And he's not backing down either. At least he wasn't on Monday night. This was very much the hot topic post-game when the Thunder had wrapped up that victory over the Jazz.
If I had to do it over again, I would say the same exact thing, because I truly will stand up for myself, for my family, for my kids, for my wife, for my mom, for my dad every single time. I expect anybody else to do the same.
So Russell is saying he doesn't have any regrets and that the way he's been treated in Utah in the past has kind of put him on edge, that he's had a problem there with Jazz fans prior to this. And you may remember going back to the playoffs last spring, so April of 2018, he was walking out of the arena, got heckled by a fan, took exception to it. Security had to hold him back, and he knocked a cell phone out of a fan's hands. Now, that's his version again. It was racist. It was disrespectful. The fan, identified as Shane Kiesel, tells a completely different story about not just his actions, but his girlfriend's.
Got to be a professional. I mean, she was sitting down the entire time. Me and him were just... It was actually, we were kind of having fun, to be honest.
At least you thought you were having fun?
Yeah, he was smiling at one point, and there was a lot of people, because it was when, you know, Joe had come by and poked Paul George in the eye, and then Joe goes over and apologizes immediately. Russ is just F-bombing and carrying on, acting a fool down here, and everybody's getting on him. And he had, I guess, heat. I thought it was ice. I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro. And he turned to me and he's like, that's heat, that's heat. And I'm like, well, you're going to need it. And then it turned into not safe for work.
So that's what provoked his response. There was no swear words. There was
I never said a swear word to him. And everybody in the vicinity will say it. And she never left her seat, never said a word, hands in her lap. Never said a single swear word to him. Not one. So, like I said, initially I was like, oh. I'm talking with Westbrook, you know. I mean, the guy's one of the greats, but he's also classless. I don't care. He can threaten me all he wants. I was the one talking to him, but don't threaten a woman. She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man. I mean, never said a word to him. Her first NBA game ever. Welcome to the NBA, Jen.
I love the fact that Mr. Kiesel points out that he's not afraid of Russell Westbrook. Good, good. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's a very manly thing to do, as is heckling an NBA player and getting under his skin exactly what you wanted. I'm not a big fan of allowing people who buy tickets to say whatever they want. I mean, I get it. He didn't say, at least as much as we've heard, he didn't say a swear word. He didn't use, I would say, a common slur of any type. But if he did, in fact, say what Westbrook thought he said, that's disgusting and it's despicable. And I can understand why Russ would react. And the fans around him will certainly tell their story if the Utah Jazz do an investigation, which they say they are. Here's the NBA fan code of conduct. It actually isn't just for fans, because it states that players will respect and appreciate each and every fan. Aww. Guests will enjoy the basketball experience free from disruptive behavior. So that's kind of a catch-all, including foul or abusive language or obscene gestures. Guests will consume alcoholic beverages in a responsible manner. Intervention with an impaired, intoxicated, or underage guest will be handled in a prompt and safe manner. And then finally, guests will not engage in fighting, throwing objects, or attempting to enter the court. And those who engage in any of these actions will immediately be ejected from the game. So that's part of the NBA fan code of conduct. But obviously, there's a lot of gray area there. What constitutes disruptive behavior? What I think is obscene and vulgar, And I'll admit it. There are a lot of things that I think are obscene and vulgar that many of you do not. What I think is obscene and vulgar, you may think is perfectly acceptable. And so that's the gray area. Therein lies the crux of this entire issue. Jesse says on Facebook, Westbrook has to rise above it. There is security everywhere. Why not ask a security guard to intervene if a fan crossed a line, considering that's their job? Mark says, shame on Westbrook. In order to allow someone to get to you, you must first value their opinion. He has everything to lose and nothing to gain. Now, I agree with that part. I don't agree with the shame on you part. He's probably going to get fined for his choice of words. But in terms of him responding to a fan who's saying those types of things to him, I don't have an issue with it. If the fan can speak, so can Russ Westbrook. Again, I think his threatening goes over the line. But I will say this, it's similar to me and people who troll me on Twitter with inappropriate, vulgar, nasty comments, personal comments. The only way they know if I've read those comments is if I respond. The only way is if I acknowledge. Just like Westbrook, if he ignores this bully, then the guy doesn't even know if he's heard him. I mean, it's very similar double standard when it comes to public figures on social media, because some guy sends me a nasty tweet. Okay, great. His 8 followers have seen it. But if I retweet it and respond to it, then it could go viral. Then it becomes a much bigger deal. I wish Russ had ignored him. I wish Russ had not given this guy the time of day. But he did. And so now the league will have to weigh in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll take more of your reaction, your feedback. Essentially, the question is, where's the line? What should fans be allowed to do and not allowed to do because they are paying customers? 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
On the right wing, down the right center lane to the rim with the right hand and lays it in. Remember that shot? It just made history. 28 for Lou Williams and the all-time leader off the bench and points scored. And oh, by the way, back the other way, Montrez blocks a potential layup. The knowledgeable crowd as the Clippers are on their feet clapping for Lou Williams.
Just watching him play even tonight, just his pace and his speed. You love that he likes coming off the bench. You know, a lot of players think if you don't start, that's some kind of knock. And Lou's already, his entire career, he's just kind of accepted that. I'll be the guy that comes off the bench to help the second unit. He's just a terrific player.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The player of the week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a closer look at the one who got it done. Congratulations to Lou Williams, 13-year guard with 34 points for the Clippers against the Celtics on Monday night. And he passes Del Curry as the top bench scorer in NBA history. This is pretty amazing. So according to the Elias Sports Bureau, starters and reserves were tracked in box scores going back to the early 70s. And so you're talking about a pretty extensive period of time. But he's now the NBA's career leader in points off the bench. This is a guy that, as Doc Rivers points out, you can count on. He's reliable, he's steady, and he likes his role. He was 14 of 20 from the field, and it was really part of a torrid shooting night for the Clippers. 62% overall against the Celtics. Second most points for the Clippers scored since 2000. But congratulations to Lou Williams on his special night. The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. I'm not good at doing quick math while I'm talking, but Del Curry had 11,147 points. Williams was 28 points behind that. So if you add the 6 more from his 34, then Lou Williams should now have 11,153 points in his NBA career off the bench. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. 4227. See, let's talk to Mike, who's in Alabama, wants to weigh in on the Westbrook incident.
Good morning, Amy. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I think this whole heckling thing, I think a heckle is basically a Molotov cocktail. And the ingredients to that is you have a superstar player who destroys your team. You have the fan who doesn't like that player. And you have alcohol. Those are the ingredients. Now, sometimes alcohol doesn't mix in. Sometimes you don't have to have alcohol to heckle. But like you said, there's not a thin line between going over the line and being under it. It's pretty wide because there's such a gray area. But if you look throughout history, look at the heckling that some folks have done over the years. I mean, look at Roger Maris. Look at the heckling. And that was from his own fans. That was from New York fans. Look at Hank Aaron. Look at the heckling he had to endure.
I don't even think I would call that heckling. I mean, heckling it implies that it's about the athlete's performance and that it's not personal. I mean, the stuff that Henry Aaron and Willie Mays and Jackie Robinson, I mean, some of the trendsetters and the pioneers when it came to breaking racial barriers, all of those things, that's not heckling. I mean, those are personal attacks for no reason other than just color of your skin. So it's just flat out racism.
Well, I agree with that. But what I was, the point I was trying to make was some players can handle stuff like that. And it might not be heckling like you just said, but some players can handle it with class and can just endure it. I think to be a superstar in any sport, not only do you have to have a talent, but you have to have a thicker skin than the average Joe. Now, there are some players that don't. Look at Ron Artest. Look at John Rocker. Look at these guys that get heckled that just take it way too far. I think Westbrook is one. I mean, he might have had a bad day, you know, last night, whatever the case
may be.
Maybe
he didn't, though. Maybe he just really feels like that guy crossed the line. I mean, let's be honest. Russell Westbrook hears this in every arena, everywhere he goes. Maybe he just felt like that was too much.
Very well possibly could be. I mean, like I said, there's that gray area, and it's pretty wide. So what construes being over the line? Well, I mean, I think it's an individual basis thing. I don't think heckling itself is over the line. It's just part of being being a fan. I mean, fan is short for fanatic. So you're
I mean, I don't heckle. I'll be honest. I've never heckled. But at the point at which it gets personal, I don't think it's heckling anymore. It's okay to criticize what an athlete's doing on the field, the court, the ice. But when it becomes personal like this was with Westbrook, I mean, that, to me, that's crossing the line, even if there's no vulgar or obscene language used.
Absolutely not. Totally not condoning what the guy said. He should not have said. But then again, there shouldn't have been such a strong reaction from Westbrook. That's just my opinion. Okay. I think they're both wrong in this particular instance.
All right. Well, we'll wait to hear what the Utah Jazz say. And, of course, the NBA is likely to weigh in as well. Mike, I appreciate your call from Alabama. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Coming up, we're going to pivot a little bit and spend some time in the nation's capital because one of the biggest free agent fish of the very deep safety crop was landed by the Redskins. So quite a deal for Landon Collins, who at 25 years old has already got 3 Pro Bowls under his belt. 6 years, $84 million with Washington. Plus, they made the move for, or will make the move for, Case Keenum in that trade with the Denver Broncos. And there were others who had huge days in this, quote, time to tamper before the new league year begins. The Lions had a big day. The Broncos addressed a couple of needs. DeSean Jackson is back with the Eagles. How about Oakland finding an offensive lineman in Trent Brown from the Patriots to be able to protect Derek Carr and allow him to then get the ball to Antonio Brown. Terrell Suggs leaves Baltimore. And then the biggest name, of course, is Nick Foles, who will end up with Jacksonville. Most guaranteed money in franchise history, $50.125 million as part of the $88 million in his contract to be the next starter for the Jaguars. And they will release Blake Bortles in time for free agency. So those are some of the major storylines, not even all of them, but we'll talk about the Redskins and their moves coming up next. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Smith crouches in under center. Handoff Peterson, hit by Collins and dropped. Back at the 33-yard line, a loss of two on the play for Landon Collins.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
He is no longer a member of the New York Giants, but he's joining another team in the NFC East. Bob Papa will get a chance to call more plays for Landon Collins as a member of the Washington Redskins since they play twice a year. That's the Giants Radio Network, and this is After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, Facebook, you're weighing in about the rights of paying customers as fans and what they should be allowed to say and not allowed to say, and we'll get to some more of those reactions before we get to the top of the hour, but a few moments here to talk about the big move in free agency for the Washington Redskins. Let's welcome Redskins reporter Craig Hoffman, who covers the team for 106.7 The Fan, our affiliate in D.C. Good morning, Craig. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Good morning, Amy. You know what's funny about that highlight? I know exactly what play that is because I was watching that game back as I was rewatching some Landon Collins yesterday. That was a first quarter play, and I'm ashamed I know that.
Well, no, you shouldn't be ashamed. That's diligence. It's your homework. So then what is it about Landon Collins that the Redskins wanted?
They need two safeties, and he is really going to be good at one of those spots. He's more of, and defensive players hate this term, but it's a term offensive coaches use. I've discovered that over the last 24 hours, too. He's a box safety, so he's going to play down around the line of scrimmage a lot more. He's going to play more underneath in coverage, but they've needed a player like that for years and years and years, and everyone loves to, you know, not loves to, but everyone will basically tell you they haven't had a great safety since Sean Taylor passed, and he's a different kind of player because no one was like Dot. No one was like what Sean Taylor was in terms of the range over the top and things like that. But he's basically half of what Sean was in terms of the physicality coming down towards the line, the ability to play the run, the ability to crush you coming over the middle. He's actually decent in man-to-man, depending on who you ask. I talked to an offensive coach yesterday who said he's a pain in the butt to play against because he can cover tight ends and do some of the things that you'd ask an underneath player to do. He's not going to be the guy that can be in a race over the top. He's not Earl Thomas. He's not that type of player. But they still obviously need that type of player. But this was also a massive, massive need for them. And he fills it on a very creative contract that is going to actually help them sign some other free agents as well.
6 years, $84 million would be the life of the contract. Three Pro Bowls for Landon Collins at just 25 years old. Also, 8 career interceptions. And you mentioned Sean Taylor, who is one of Landon Collins' idols and someone that he very much admires. And so that the filling the need is great. What about the star power of a Landon Collins, though, and the fact that he's already made a name for himself, not to mention he comes from Alabama?
Yeah, which is huge for them. They could have 6 starters from Alabama next year. That's insane, but it's also not because they have the best football players. And so what they've done with their locker room, and I know it's kind of weird because one of those guys is probably going to be Reuben Foster. So to say like, oh yeah, they're signing a bunch of choir boys and a bunch of just really high character guys when Reuben Foster's one of them. Okay, he's a little bit more the exception. And you know, there's a difference between character and football character, and his problems away from the field are a little different. So we're just going to put Reuben Foster in a separate box and not deal with him. But for the other guys like Daron Payne, guys like Jonathan Allen, guys like Ryan Anderson, these are their first and second round picks from 18, 17, and 17. These are tone setter type of players in their locker room. And they have made an effort, including dismissing DJ Swearinger, which is part of the reason they needed Landon Collins, to get players with a certain type of attitude. It just so happens that a lot of these guys are coming from the exact same place. And so it's not coincidence that Landon Collins went to Alabama and that he played with some of these guys. He would have crossed briefly with those three players. I don't know about Payne, but with Allen and Anderson. They are just a different type of breed. They come to the NFL with a different kind of attitude, a selfless team first attitude that they want in that locker room. And so that is a huge part of this. And it's not so much the star power. I think that's a little bit of an overplayed narrative because early in Dan Snyder's ownership, he definitely did star chase. And I'm not saying that Daniel Snyder's all of a sudden turned into this magnificent owner, but that has certainly gone away under Bruce Allen, who is not as interested in star chasing. They do need star star power. They do need people to buy tickets because their attendance is terrible and they've got a million problems as a franchise. But I don't think Landon Collins is necessarily a ticket seller. I think Landon Collins has star power because he's a good player.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They need good players badly. And so that fills a need from the star void in that way.
Oh, no, that's far more important than whether or not he has household recognition, though that would come with him being a star in that secondary. Craig Hoffman covers the reporter. It's been a long show, Craig. Covers the Redskins for our affiliate in D.C., 106.7 The Fan. We're happy to have him for a couple of minutes here this morning. What was the reaction to the trade for Case Keenum as the stopgap quarterback?
It was an initial freakout because people thought that was... That was like, oh my God, they're trading for Keenum. This is their answer at quarterback. And then as people like me did more reporting on it, we're able to say, like, actually, this is just not, like, they're not done yet. That kind of tempered the reaction. And then it kind of turned. And actually, much like the Landon Collins deal, once we got some of the details, it kind of turned into praise for the Redskins front office of a really smart and savvy move. They essentially got, it's funny because you ask people around the league, and this has now happened to me, I think, 5 or 6 times. Who does Case remind you of? Colt McCoy, their actual starter. So they essentially got insurance, and they did it in a way that did not take them out of the Josh Rosen sweepstakes. It did not take them out of any other, you know, drafting Drew Lock or Daniel Jones at 15. They could still do those things because financially it's feasible. And actually, if they were to trade for Rosen, the 4 quarterbacks on their roster combined, Alex Smith, who obviously will not play, but carries a $20.4 million cap figure, Colt McCoy at $3.5 million, Case Keenum at $3.5 million, and Rosen would count for the Redskins at $1.8 because Arizona takes the prorated version of his signing bonus. They would all cost less combined than what Minnesota is going to pay Kirk Cousins. And I don't say that to be a shot at Kirk. It's just an interesting math fact. And so to get a guy who has some NFL experience back in their building, because all they had was Colt McCoy, was really smart, really savvy, and they did it at a specific number they wanted, that $3.5 million, because that is exactly what Colt McCoy makes, and so they can enter a quarterback competition that is a true competition that no one's going to win based off finances.
I got to go back to what you said about Colt McCoy being the starter. So that is the thing, and Case Keenum is the backup, or there's going to be a competition?
Well, no, there's going to be a competition, but Colt McCoy was the starter because there was no other quarterback with 2 healthy legs in the building. And
right.
I don't say that to be glib. It was a fact. The only other guy that was even floating around that they could have re-signed was Josh Johnson, and he just had ankle surgery. So even he's not available. They're not going to re-sign him because he's not anywhere close to being able to play football. So they had nobody, literally no other, like, they had nobody to throw passes outside of Colt McCoy and OTAs. They did not have a camp arm. Nevertheless, a viable backup. And so now they bring in Case, and Case and Colt can compete for the starter/backup job. And again, because of the finances, they are dead even in that moving forward.
What else do they desperately need?
A lot. They need a playmaker. Actually, they really need 2 to 3 playmakers on offense. So they could probably stand to upgrade at wide receiver. The question is exactly where. They go the bigger body type of guy and try to replace Josh Doctson. I think that is probably the play, or at least make Doctson more of a rotational player, and then move on from him after this year, the final year of his rookie contract. They will not pick up his 5th-year option. They did sign Paul Richardson to a $40 million contract last year, and he was hurt literally the entire year. He got hurt in training camp, played through it for a couple weeks. They could stand to upgrade it at the speedier type of position. Trey Quinn, I like a lot, who was Mr. Irrelevant in last year's draft. He's going to, right now, they're starting slot. They could use another receiver. They need a wide tight end, a blocking receiving combo tight end to go opposite of Jordan Reed. They probably need to sign a running back if they can't re-sign Adrian Peterson. Obviously, that would be the number one choice to pair with Darius Geis and Chris Thompson. And then they need another safety. They need, I think they could upgrade an inside linebacker. They need another edge opposite of Ryan Kerrigan. So yeah, they need a lot of, they need a lot. And they look, frankly, they need another quarterback too. But
I mean, is that all, Craig?
Yeah. Other than that, the play was great, Mrs. Lincoln. They do need a lot, but I do think that they've done some smart things. I think the Keenum move was smart. I actually like the Collins signing a lot. And to get into the details briefly of the contract, not to bore everyone, but they were able to get it at a cap number for $4 million this year. So for a team that's cap-strapped in free agency, they were able to figure out how to get Landon Collins on big number $84 million contract that only counts $4 million this year towards the cap, so they can still pursue guys like C.J. Mosley, who they're still in a hot pursuit of.
Before I let you go, Craig, DeSean Jackson, mm-hmm. who was drafted by the Eagles in 08, spent 3 years with the Redskins before he went to Tampa for a couple of seasons, is now back in the NFC East. How do you like that move?
I like it. I like any team that can get DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. I've seen what he does to defenses. He scares the daylights out of them, and he opens up everything. The Redskins' offense has not been the same since he left. And, you know, guys like Jordan Reed and Jamison Crowder benefited hugely from him when he was here, because he literally moves the safeties back another 5 yards, because there's just nobody like him in almost NFL history. I mean, he played 12 games last year. I saw this last night. He played in 12 games last year and was fifth in the league in 20-plus yard targets. Like, he just is the guy that can get behind defenses like nobody else. His ball tracking ability is super unique, and so his ability to make big plays is a complete game changer. So for Philly and Carson Wentz, who obviously has a huge arm and a guy who can extend plays, if all of a sudden DeSean is able to just get free late in plays, I mean, they're going to score 2 to 3 touchdowns next year on extended plays where DeSean just decides to run past everybody as Carson runs around and Carson launches one deep. I mean, those kind of plays are invaluable in the NFL. So I think it's a smart move from Philly. And obviously that ups the Redskins' need and my neck of the woods for them getting that deep safety.
I mean, I don't know how much sleep you had. I know you were complaining about it before you went to bed, which is fine. That's what we're doing.
I rested fine.
I was going to say, you have great enthusiasm and are very eloquent. I wish I had that, because sometimes when I'm on lack of sleep, it doesn't matter what I'm trying to say. It comes out completely different. So
I'll send you the coffee I'm drinking. I don't want to get in trouble for payola, but I will send you the coffee I'm drinking.
That's sweet. All right, you can follow Craig on Twitter at Craig Hoffman. He's busy. It's that time of the year. It's time to tamper. Redskins reporter for our affiliate in D.C., 106.7 The Fan. Craig, you're the best. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
You got it. See you, Amy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.